B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour two, before we get to your phones, I just want to follow up since we're talking about Garoppolo. Anything new on your reporting from yesterday, Jimmy Stewart?
No, sir.
Has anyone shot it down?
No, sir.
Okay, I take that as a win.
Zoe kind of co-signed on it today.
I'll take that. A kind of co-sign from Zoe? That's something. But no one out there in the Twitter sphere or the reporting world shot it down.
No, and we blasted out over social media. I saw you mention it on the Mike Hawley show last night.
You bet.
Which I appreciate.
Oh, we featured it.
Yeah, no pushback, no blowing, no nothing.
No pushback, no blowing, no nothing. I take that as a victory.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, victory and truth is what it is.
Exactly. Cold, hard football fact, as someone once said. Garoppolo had a chance to be traded here, and he turned it down because he wouldn't accept the pay cut. So until someone tells me that that's wrong and proves it to me, it's right.
I'll tell you what, I give Garoppolo credit for that one too.
Why?
And again, this is, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not sure it was the best career decision. But you know what? Can the Patriots just trade a guy and accept the contract for what it is?
No.
Like, can they just do it?
But does he deserve full pay after all the injuries?
Probably not. No, probably not. So, again, this is why I say I'm not sure it was the best business decision. But, again, part of me looks at it and says, oh, good. Good. Because you know what? Because to play for them, you've always got to give something back.
Well,
like it's some sort of gift to play for the Patriots.
And I can definitely see that backstory, Don Yee, all those years giving back to the team for Tom Brady. Maybe he's had enough. The whole Brady camp's had enough. And not that Garoppolo's Brady's camp, but it's the same agency. And maybe there's an underlying factor there. I definitely think that's, you know, at play. Financially, it's probably the right call for Garoppolo. You know, financially, it probably is to turn down the pay cut. And, on the Mike Hawley show again last night, Lou made a good point. They said, you know, if he gets hurt, he's guaranteed 25. I'd forgotten about that. You know, once you're hurt, they can't release you. So that effectively that money does become guaranteed. So if Garoppolo gets hurt in camp for the Niners, he makes 25. If he gets hurt in camp here for New England, he makes 16. Well, that's a pretty easy business decision.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But again, short term, he'll make more money. Long term, that's why I say it might not be the best business decision.
I mean, let's say he came here and had success here. He's going to make a real contract here? Or are they constantly going to be finger, you know,
yes,
like they were doing Brady all those years?
B.
Yes. So, like, he'll never get the real contract here either.
No.
And they probably would feel real confident about that, too, because they did it with Don Yee time and time and time again.
But I don't know if Don Yee's taken to the banana in the tailpipe anymore. And not to use too many, you know, analogies here, but be that as it may, you know, there's always going to be strings attached here. If it's just about the money, like, I get it. And he may have made the right call. If you want more than just money, you know, then I think he probably made the wrong call. Because Belichick was willing to invest in you as a player, not financially, but as a player. And I still think put you in a better position to succeed than Kyle Shanahan and the Niners would. So I think business money-wise, he may have made the right call. Football-wise, I don't think he did. But either way, that's that. I promise. To your calls. Ryan in Mansfield. Go ahead, Ryan. You're up next.
How's it going, guys? I'm just wondering your opinion on whether you guys think maybe the San Francisco 49ers believe in their entire roster outside the quarterback a little bit, and they're buying in to win right now and not thinking about the future.
I think they're thinking about all of it. I think they're thinking about all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're thinking we have to have a quarterback and we'll do whatever it takes to have a quarterback. And we're not even willing to have a window here where we're developing a guy who isn't ready. We want both. And I give them credit for it. The guy I give the most credit to is Jed York actually paying the money. And again, not that it's they can figure it out cap-wise and all of that, but not many owners would give their coach all that draft capital first, approve that, and then say, yeah, we'll let you trade or use what amounts to 3 first-round picks and then have a guy sit on a bench a year or two while we pay the seat warmer $25 million a year. Not many. This owner wouldn't do it.
No way. I mean, no, in fact, most wouldn't.
They had a chance to do it, you know, for all intents and purposes. They could have franchised Jimmy Garoppolo and kept him here and not had this bridge period and not have this dark period between quarterbacks, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't pay Garoppolo $25 million on the franchise tag. The Niners will. So I give that owner, I think that owner's got it right. So good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, they invest in the position, right? That's really what it is. Invest in the position. Just recognizing that it is. You know, how many times have you called quarterback a management position?
Yep.
That's really what it is. You got to treat it that way, which means you have to pay it that way.
Paul in Fairhaven. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, thanks for taking my calls, guys. Hey, about Jimmy Garoppolo, real quick. So he's a nice guy. And Mel Kiper had him as a career backup. He got real lucky. He was probably the most surprised guy in the room that he got that big contract with San Francisco. I'm glad he's not taking a pay cut. The NFL's cutthroat, and he's got a guaranteed contract. I think after taxes, he's going to walk away with over $50 million. So good for Jimmy. That's point number one. Point number two, Shanahan's a real jerk. To mention who's going to be alive. Why didn't he just say we're going to take a hit out on Jimmy Garoppolo if he doesn't take a pay cut? The guy's a complete jerk.
Okay, Paul. Thanks for calling. Why are you laughing?
Just his delivery.
Taxes.
I think he's probably worse off tax-wise in California than he is even right here. I don't think there's any bargain wherever he's getting paid. And the money's not guaranteed unless he's on that roster week one or if he gets hurt. If he gets hurt, it's effectively guaranteed because you can't release a player who's hurt. You have to have some sort of injury settlement. So that's also something to consider.
He's made almost $90 million in career, $90 million in his career already pre-tax.
So that's for a guy of his, you know, for what he's accomplished, he's been well compensated.
Oh, he's done well. Are you kidding?
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, it's a joke how much money he's made. Like seriously, he got that big contract. He's played like 25 games since. It's unbelievable.
Jack in the car on Mac Jones, who we're about to get to. Go ahead, Jack.
Listen, if Mac turns out to be the real McCoy, and if Belichick picked him up without trading up, then you guys are complete dunces. And I'd like to know whether you would so acknowledge that Bill outsmarted you one more time.
So I like the pick, Jack. I don't understand what you're driving at.
Yeah, but you never thought that he could get it at 15.
No, that's not true. No, though. That's not true. From the very beginning, we said there's a chance a guy like Jones could slide or Lance could slide.
Well, I thought it was going to be Fields, but either way, it's not surprising one of those guys was there at 15, Jack.
I was just surprised that he took him.
Well, then you're wrong. If he turns out to be really good, you're wrong, man.
Eager to blow. No. What a miserable existence.
But I'll tell you what, I'll give him that. But if Mac Jones turns out to be a franchise quarterback and they were right, yes, I will have been wrong.
What's he blowing about? I don't even get it.
So I just said that.
A bill.
God, look, that guy doesn't like us. Okay, he doesn't like us. That's all that is. So, which is fine. He's entitled to not like us.
But I don't understand what he's blowing.
You guys are wrong. He's not blowing anything. He's blowing us because he wants to blow us.
But wrong about what?
It doesn't matter.
I mean, Mac Jones was going to be available at 15.
Well, I mean, so look, I thought it was more like Bill for a quarterback to fall to 15 and him trade out for defense and leave the quarterback on the board. So I thought that was going to be more likely.
Yeah, I was surprised that they took him.
Yeah, sure, fine. But I don't know if that's blow worthy.
No,
I think that's just been their track record.
I mean, I'll tell you that with regard to Jones, I said from the beginning, he's a hard guy to evaluate. I don't know that I would take a guy like that in the first round. I would, if you get him in the second, fine, feels like that to me. But at the end of the day, if he can play, what difference does it make? That guy just doesn't like us.
I feel bad for fans like that because your team sucks. You know, so now really, what do you got? Now really, what do you got? You're a losing team. And so I hope they win and you've got some meat behind your blah. Because otherwise, you just sound like a jackass blowing at 7-9. Mike and Chelmsford, go ahead, Mike.
Felger, what are you doing? How come you let Bedard and the Patriots slap you with a big Polish sausage across the face, get away with calling Jimmy Garoppolo and ye stupid for not taking $16 million and setting himself up for life? Isn't it a commandment of the show that when the Pats don't get their way, all of a sudden the agent and the player are stupid? I mean, I swear you called this would happen, didn't you?
I don't remember. You know,
Jimmy's
so again,
calling
I'm
San Fran's bluff. That doesn't literally necessarily make him stupid.
I'm being blood again for something. I'm not exactly sure what I said, Mike, but I think he's stupid not to come back here and team up with Bill.
All of a sudden, they want Jimmy. He's this great player, but all of a sudden he doesn't take their deal, and now we hear from Bedard and the Patriots, oh, he's stupid. They're stupid for not taking it. It's I thought that was something, was a commandment of the show we weren't going to allow.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And again, you're going back in time, and I can't remember what I said when I said it, so I'm not exactly sure what you're trying to blow me over. I think from a football standpoint, Garoppolo would be best served here. But I just said, business-wise, money, pure money. If he's just worried about the money, then he's probably right to turn down their pay cut and not come here and hitch his wagon here because they'll never pay him. So, but what does he care about? You know, what does he want? Does he want to be a championship quarterback and have his best chance at a championship? I think it would be here, better than San Francisco, because I think in their heart they really don't believe in him there. And Bill does. And Bill does. And Bill's better than Shanahan. So if it were just football, I'd suck it up and I'd come here.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Don Yee thing had to be a factor, too.
But I don't think he's stupid. I never said he was dumb for that.
It had to be a factor. And again, now this is me selfishly liking this part of the story, that the guy who represented Tom Brady and went through all those years with the Patriots where he had to completely pull down his pants and get slapped in the ass every time there was a contract negotiation. Okay, he did. He had to get completely spanked every time it was a contract negotiation. Now has Garoppolo, and the Patriots all of a sudden are finding themselves in the very unusual position of having to pay people to play for them. Isn't that something? So this guy says, so let me get this straight. You guys porked me for 20 years on Brady, and now you want me to come back and you want to start it all over again? Go pound sand. Go find yourself another quarterback on your own. Good luck to you, and I hope you draft Mac Jones. It works out, but we're not going to take a pay cut. Part of me very much enjoys that. I'd be lying if I told you otherwise.
Okay, meanwhile, a little cold water on the Mac Jones draft pick there. The previous caller may not be happy with the next segment. As we continue to get blood over things, I just can't remember what we're getting blood over. Back to you and this story right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Even if I took Mac Jones, which I'm not going to do, I wouldn't be solving the quarterback problem. You know why? Because Mac Jones is already on the roster. He's been there for 2 years. It's Jarrett Stidham. Say hello to Mac Jones 1.0.
And that's Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. There's some pre-draft analysis you can blow if you want to. Pre-draft analysis, always more valuable than the post-draft analysis. We all put our spin on it after the team takes the player. What are you saying about him before your team took the player? That's what you want to know. And Ben Volen in the Globe circle back to a big criticism of Jones that isn't his fault, and no one really puts this on him, but it is just a fact, and it's the first thing everyone said about him. And you know, oddly enough, he's now been compared to Tom Brady. People don't do it as much after he became a Patriot. But before the Pats took him, the big criticism was, well, of course he looked good. He plays for Alabama. That's an NFL team. And Ben Volen today in the Globe circled back and sort of wrote something on that. He said, the Patriots' first-round pick looks every bit the franchise quarterback on his game tape from Alabama. His throws are right on the money, deep balls with the perfect distance and trajectory, slant passes with pinpoint placement, crossing routes, thrown right in stride. Quote, the guy checks every box for what the Patriots are looking for, said former OC Charlie Weiss. Quote, he's similar to a quarterback that you have a lot of familiarity with over the last 20 years, end quote.
Another one.
So he did it again.
Yeah, he did it again is right. I mean, again, every time I hear it, I want to vomit.
Okay, but Volen writes, there's just one major caveat when evaluating Jones. Was he truly as great as his numbers and the film suggest? Or was he a product of the incredible talent around him? The Crimson Tide had a record 5 players from the same offense chosen in the first round last week. And previous Alabama quarterbacks, Greg McElroy, A.J. McCarron, Tua Tagovailoa, all thrived in college but struggled in the pros. Though Tua still has plenty of time to develop. Quote, you watch the tape, Jones was not under duress very often, said Greg Cosell, the X and O's guru from NFL Films. He will be polarizing in some draft rooms. Some will see Jones as a highly schemed and highly programmed ball distributed quarterback without any special physical traits. So that whole thing. Why have we stopped holding the Alabama offense and their team against him? Because he's a Patriot, right? I answer my own.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, my own question, but is there...
I haven't.
Okay, go ahead.
This is why I said when we first started discussing Jones, I said, boy, that's a brutally hard guy to evaluate because all he does is sit there and just spit the ball out. And it felt to me watching them during the year, and I know people have emailed and said that that he is a guy that threw the ball down the field. Like, you know, the argument of why didn't we hold Joe Burrow's talent against him? And why do we do it with Mac Jones? And my answer is that when I watched Jones play, it felt like every pass was inside of 10 yards of the line of scrimmage and guys would just break it and run down the field. That's what it felt like to me. They were just loaded and nobody could keep up with the athletes that Alabama had. Burrow felt to me like a guy who made plays. So there was a difference. I loved Burrow. This kid scares me. And I think that it should be held against him because there's no way you can honestly tell until he has to carry an offense a little bit.
Volan writes that Belichick wrote in a scouting guide in 1991. I had a take on this. We've all seen this before, that the Belichick 1991 scouting guide from Cleveland. Was that in the Habelstrand book or whatever? It's been published, so we know it. But Belichick wrote in a scouting guide in 1991 that his preferred attributes for a quarterback were, quote, accurate rather than a guy with a cannon. Emphasis on our game will be on decision, timing, accuracy. Can't be sloppy. Fundamentally unsound guy. So he can't be a sloppy, fundamentally unsound guy. That's the scouting. That's Bill Belichick's scouting reports on quarterbacks, what he wants as a quarterback. Question. Why was Cam Newton the quarterback last year?
Good question.
Right.
Does he fit any of the things that Belichick wanted according to his scouting manual?
No.
He's the complete opposite of all that.
Why is Cam Newton still here in the starting quarterback?
Because he kisses Bill's ass.
So, like, this is what makes it so outrageous. You know, every time someone wants to bring up that scouting manual and what Bill Belichick values in the quarterback position or how Mac Jones, you know, and again, Volan writes, that reads like Mac Jones to a T. Okay, neat. Why is Cam Newton here? Why was Cam Newton the choice last year? Why is he still here? Why is he starting right now as if the season started today? He's still your starter.
Yeah, well, there is something missing in that scouting manual, which is he also has to be cheap.
Oh, my God. Like, isn't that outrageous? Like, as much as we want to, like, rub ourselves in canola oil over Belichick's scouting manual and what he prefers, you know? And it's like, okay, well, great. Why is Cam Newton here then? So doesn't that tell you about the motives of why that player's here?
Yes.
Because
totally.
Because he's cheap and he plays ball with Bill publicly and probably internally too. Ugh, gross, right? You can't have it both ways. You can't say Bill's got it right on what he wants on a quarterback and then say Cam Newton is your guy. Like, come on. Anyway, that scouting manual does read like Jones to a T, writes Volan. His arm strength is most often described as good, not great, but he throws an excellent deep ball. His accuracy and ability to process the field are outstanding. Jones is not a runner and doesn't have a great body type, but he has shown the ability to slide and shuffle in the pocket and find throwing lanes. He took just 13 sacks last year on 402 pass attempts.
Yeah, that's because nobody ever got near him.
So this is like, and Bedard did this. A lot of guys have looked at the tape and said his footwork's really good. You know, yes, he's not a mobile guy. He's not a runner, but his mobility within the pocket's good. The way he shuffles his feet, he's light on his feet, he's bouncy on his feet. It's really good. Can't that also be tied to how comfortable he is back there?
Yes.
It's like there aren't many runaway rushers on him. He's getting the crap kicked out of him. But Dard did mention a game the other day where he did, I can't remember what game he mentioned, where he did take a lot of heat, a lot of pressure, a lot of hits, and he stood in there. So I
think he said it was the Auburn game. Yeah.
You know, I mean, whatever it was, Greg, who looked at it closely, said it's not all, you know, show ponies and unicorns. But I think on balance, he's pretty damn comfortable back there. On balance, they're up by a couple of scores. His guys are open. He's not being pressured. So in that case, yeah, that feels pretty good back here. Yeah, let's go. You know, it's like
dance a jig.
It's easy to be light on your feet dancing around back there. And I think, you know, I think you could say there are a lot about those Alabama quarterbacks. And I think that's sort of the point.
Yes.
When things are easy and you're winning and it's all coming easy, yeah, you can look great and fluid and great footwork and all of that. It's not going to happen that way here.
I mean, and so Tua was a little different because Tua was more athletic, right? But go back to now McCarron. When McCarron came out, you know what he projected as? Like a third-round pick? I think he ended up going in the fifth, right? But that is sort of how I looked at Jones. Like, okay, second or third round.
None of these Alabama guys. I don't think Jalen Hurts, the little I saw, I don't know. I ain't into it. And I think Tua is like a college quarterback. I mean, a long way to go on him, but just body type and...
He's Whittle.
The way that he plays and the whole shifty little lefty thing, like, I don't know. I mean, he's probably got great intangibles. I still do believe that, even though, again, it's hard to tell that at Alabama. I think he's probably got that piece to it, but I don't think any of these Alabama quarterbacks.
No, they haven't been great. No, again, and look, we had that general discussion. You can go back decades. There aren't that many that have come out of there. Not that that should really be any... measuring stick, because you never know. But the thing that worries me is just how can you tell when he's just never really under all that much duress? And look, we know what that can do to even the best quarterbacks. Look at what it did to Mahomes in the Super Bowl. He didn't have two tackles out there, and he got the crap kicked out of him. So and it all fell apart. They scored 9 points, and they have the best offense in the world. So, like, I don't know that there's been a guy like him in the last however many years that you would say, you know, you can get that's harder to evaluate than him. Really? How can you tell?
Okay. We'll continue with this right after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Please, Maz.
What the?
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Back to your phones here on Felger and Maz. Chuck's in D.C. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, I mean, I believe Jimmy Stewart about Garoppolo and Don Yee turning down Belichick's offer before the draft because, like, you know, ironically, what they were offering, I think it was like 16 or 18 million, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, okay. So, in a vacuum, that's not an unreasonable value. But to me, that's kind of irrelevant. To me, it's the principle of if you want the player, then go get him on his current contract. Don't pork him in the process. And Belichick did not get to do that this time. And so in order to get a quarterback that he liked, he had to use his first-round draft pick. To that, I say, good. That's exactly what they should do. Start valuing your quarterback with a first-round value instead of trying to pork him in the process.
So, you know, Chuck, Jimmy shouldn't have turned it down on principle. It's business, right? I mean, you use the leverage at your disposal to get the best deal you possibly can. Principle goes out the window in that situation. I think they turned it down because financially they're in a better position just to stay with San Francisco. San Francisco has to pay him the 25 unless they want to release him for nothing. So they're betting San Francisco won't release him for nothing, in which case, collect your salary, collect your money. You're not going to do as well anywhere else. And secondarily, you're probably going to start again because the kid they drafted probably isn't going to be ready. So it will be up to you. If you win, if Garoppolo wins at the level he's won at his entire career, which is what, like a 700 winning percentage or something?
Something like that, yeah.
They'll be 7-3 and, you know, it'll be hard for them to make the move. And then he becomes a free agent. Or they have to keep him for another year at 25, which is a good salary. Or he becomes a free agent coming off of making a strong case for himself. So F principle, it's... He's in a decent spot if he stays in San Francisco. I still think he'd be even better off here. Not financially, but set up to succeed better here.
Yeah, that part I totally believe. Only because of the Kyle Shanahan aspect in all of this. Because I don't think Shanahan even wants him there anymore. I think he's ready to move on as soon as possible. And I just don't know how that dynamic is going to work. And how Garoppolo doesn't feel burned by the whole thing.
So again, look, because again, I'm a little with the caller on this. Okay, and I say a little. What's the Patriots' leverage?
Oh, they don't have any.
Okay, so go pound sand.
Yeah, I mean, Bill would say we have a quarterback, Cam Newton.
Right, so this is what I'm saying, is that, you know, the Patriots don't have any leverage, but they're trying to leverage Garoppolo.
Yeah.
So the player says no. Good for him. And again, so I look at it with, part of me is happy about this, because Garoppolo's one case. What about Brady all those years? Why did they leverage Brady?
Because they could. And Brady allowed them to.
So Brady allowed them to. That's right. So it's really more that, right? So I just look at it. I get agitated that the Patriots somehow think that now that they don't have Brady, that they still have, you still should genuflect at the That's opportunity true. To play for them.
Right. No, so it is refreshing for a player to say, F you, I'm not taking a pay cut. You're not so special.
Right.
I don't need you.
Right. And that's the part that I give Garoppolo credit for.
But that is biting his nose to spite his face a little bit. Again, I don't think. And I know Shanahan doesn't really believe in him. I mean, Garoppolo played well that Super Bowl year. He played well that season. He had a good year. And Shanahan got scared of him in the playoffs. And 2 years later, gives up 3 first-round picks to draft his replacement. Bill believes in him more than Shanahan does, and Bill's True. A better coach. So if Garoppolo didn't care about the money, this would have been a better spot for him. Matt in Plymouth. Go ahead, Matt. You're up next.
Yes, for me, I want Belichick to start every conference call or every interview after every game with, we do what's best for the team, we do what's best to feed my ego. Because who spends $160 million in the offseason and doesn't address the most important position? I get it. They drafted Mac Jones, but his ego by far has gotten in the way. And Murray, I'm all in on Tom, because it's ridiculous what's going on right now. To not compartmentalize what he does from a GM perspective, he should be taken out back to the woodshed and shot like Oya. Yeah.
It's a little strong.
Jeez.
But, you know, the irony is, you know, he grudgingly gives Bill credit. Yes, he drafted him in the first round. I still think there was a large part of Bill that didn't want to draft him in the first round.
Oh, for sure. Again, let's tie the Garoppolo story to it. So he's negotiating with Garoppolo. Why? Because he wants that first. And again, he expects someone to give him something, and they don't. So now I got to take a quarterback in the first. It wasn't his first choice. I felt that his first choice was not to do what he did on day one of the draft. He did not want to have to take a quarterback at 15. Whether Jones was there or not. Now, look, the fact that Jones was there, was he happy about it? Sure. Yes. It was not his first choice.
Chris is in Wisconsin on Garoppolo. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, listen, first thing, you sort of touched upon what I wanted to bring up. When Brady for years sat there and was completely underpaid as a QB, now we have Garoppolo who sits there and refuses $16 million a year. If Jones turns out to be the franchise quarterback, and what is it, four years or 5 years, do you think he's going to stick around and do like Brady did and not take top pay if he's worth it?
Oh, Chris, it's a great question. It's like, the Patriots are on record as saying we don't want the quarterback to take up X amount of salary cap space. We don't want to overextend for any one player. And so this is something that's on record. It's how they handle Brady. It's apparently how they're still handling the quarterback thing because they're lowballing Garoppolo and all of this. So what happens if Mac Jones really does turn into be the next Tom Brady, as Charlie Weiss and others seem to indicate? What if he really becomes that guy? What if they've really hit on this pick? Is he going to take the cheese? Is he going to take the banana in the tailpipe like Brady did for 20 years?
I'm sure imagine. The Crafts can find some land in Brookline for him. There's a performance center that might be need some new rebranding. I'm sure they'll find some salary cap violations.
So, look, I'm predicting the future here, but you know what? Bill won't care. He'll be gone.
Okay,
or on the verge of it.
But how do the Crafts feel? How does Jonathan feel? I mean, I don't know. And they paid Bledsoe through the nose, so maybe the Crafts feel differently about it. And maybe you're right. Maybe it won't be Bill's problem. So it's maybe just a mythical question, but if they had Pat Mahomes and they have to pay Pat Mahomes $40 million a year, are you telling me they won't do it because that's 20% of the cap?
Yes. I'm telling you, yes, they wouldn't do it.
That's insane, right?
But, yeah, look, I think it's ridiculous. Again, this is sort of why I look at the Niners and I say, well, there's a team that at least will commit to the importance of the position. The Patriots want to say that the position's important, but they don't want to spend like it's important, which blows me away. So we talked about it at the time, and we said if Patrick Mahomes were offered to them right now for a third-round pick, but you have to take the contract he has, they would say no.
Do you really believe that?
I do.
It's something to chew on.
Or they would ask him to renegotiate, you know, restructure.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm telling you, they would say no. I don't think they would do it.
All right.
Bill wouldn't.
Meanwhile, again, some people comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady. Some people saying, is he just another Alabama quarterback who's, you know, propped up by the pieces around him and the coaching around him? We continue with that conversation in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot. 98.5. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
My point ultimately is that people are talking about him, saying they like him the best. They're talking about him like he's a franchise quarterback, and he's not. He's not. He's one of these faux franchise quarterbacks like a Dalton or a Cousins or Derek Carr who can look the part in spurts, but ultimately is not going to elevate you or your team to being a winner. He's going to put up a bunch of stats. He's going to look good. It's going to say, like, you're going to look and say, oh, this guy has the intangibles of a leader, and he studies film. He does all the things you want him to do. But that certain je ne sais quoi that a Rodgers or Brees or a Brady has, he doesn't have it, and he's never going to have it.
Still my favorite Mac Jones pre-draft analysis. Chris Gasper, our very own Chris Gasper, Jag Jones.
This is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that Bill is going to talk himself or let Saban talk him into Mac Jones.
And are you becoming more convinced Cam Newton could be back?
I'm going to change this guy's name. This guy's name isn't Mac Jones. It's Jag Jones. Because that's what he is. He's a Jag. Jag Jones.
I love how he blew right through your attempts.
Oh, yeah, he did. He tries to crowbar it in any chance he got.
Are you becoming more convinced Cam Newton could be back?
I'm going to change this guy's name.
Shut up, Murray.
This guy's name isn't Mac Jones. It's Jag Jones. Because that's what he is. He's a Jag. Jag Jones.
An 18-wheeler.
Oh, yeah, he was getting to that punchline.
Jag Jones coming through. Jag Jones.
So good.
The other one's good too, though. He's not going to have the French version of the it factor there.
People are projecting this guy to be a franchise quarterback, and he's not. He's not. And that's my whole point on this. And at the end of the day, I think he's ultimately, like I'm saying, like, ultimate ceiling is Cousins. He could be Dalton. On the end of the day, I think he's between two former Bengals quarterbacks. I think he falls somewhere between Dalton and AJ McCarron. How would you feel about that?
Oh, yeah.
That's basically a borderline starter.
Ugh. Yeah, and he does have that je ne sais quoi there.
How would you feel about that?
Oh, yeah.
That's basically...
Oh, God. So good. But again, so Ben Volen in the Globe, circle back to some of that pre-draft stuff with Mac Jones. Is Jag Jones just a function of the talent around him? He says, watch Jones's 90-yard touchdown pass in the Georgia game. The cornerback fell down at midfield. Watch Jones's 59-yard touchdown pass against Auburn. It was just a quick slant with Devontae Smith doing the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just two of many examples of Jones taking advantage of busted coverage. Jones didn't face much adversity either. The Tide trailed once at halftime all season. They trailed once at halftime all season, and only two of their 13 games were within one score entering the fourth quarter. Their average score last year was 39-14. So again, Jag Jones gets credited there with this great footwork and this great bounce he has in the step and how he's light on his feet. I'll just say again, I'd be pretty light at my feet if I wasn't getting touched and I was winning 40-14 every game too.
Exactly.
You look like Fred Biletnikoff. I was going to say, who's the...
Fred Astaire?
Fred Astaire, right. I was going to say, who's the ballerina, the male...
Oh, Baryshnikov.
Yeah, Baryshnikov. Yeah.
Is that a ballerina then, or is that a...
ballet dancer.
Ballet dancer. Yeah. I'd be Baryshnikov back there too. I'd be doing Swan Lake. Like, Yeah, you'd look great back there, up 40-14, not getting touched.
I don't know if it's a good comp, but this is now, as we're talking about this, this reminds me of, so like, you know, Manziel. When Manziel was at A&M, it turns out like he was more...
I'm going to change this guy's name. This guy's name isn't Mac Jones. It's Jag Jones.
It was more about the talent around him than it was what he was actually doing. He had Mike Evans. He had a ridiculous offensive line. And granted, he had his own issues, too, and he was a bit of an idiot. But it was more about the talent around him than the actual quarterback play.
Jag Jones.
Oh, listen, you're preaching to the choir. The guy, so I saw something, and I can't remember where I saw it now. I should have sent it to you, where he was likened to Chad Pennington.
Yeah, no, I've seen that too. So I kind of like
Chad Pennington.
So did I, Murray. I like Chad Pennington.
Before the shoulder turned into wheat thins.
The Pro Football Focus has his pro comp as the guy in the Raiders. Why am I blanking on his name? Derek Carr. And then there was someone else who had him with Chad Pennington. Gasper's got him somewhere between Dalton and McCarron. Okay. Meanwhile, there's a whole slew of guys like Charlie Weiss who have Tom Brady as the comp.
So this is why. So Bill thinks, so this goes back to like that. Bill thinks he can win with Andy Dalton.
So, and I like Chad Pennington too.
Me too. I like Pennington.
And I'd take Dalton on this team over Cam Newton. I'd say that. So Bill thinks you can win with the system guy. So it's not the player. I like the player. And I'm sure Bill likes the player. He wouldn't take somebody he doesn't like. So I'm not, you know, let's not go that far with it. I just don't think he would take him at 15. Okay? And I wouldn't take Andy Dalton at 15 either. I don't know if I'd take Chad Pennington at 15, even though that's kind of where he went. He went middle of the first. But that is the game manager, smart quarterback who is sort of relies more on intangibles than the physical gifts. Generally, that guy doesn't go at 15. Generally, that guy goes lower. And And I don't know if I'm sure Bill feels the same way, but my hunch is Bill probably feels the same way.
Oh, you know him better than we do.
But this year, he's going to go at 15 because everyone's up my ass about the quarterback thing, and the owner's here in the room, too, and we have all discussed this, and I know we need the next quarterback, so...
And Jimmy wouldn't sign here.
And, oh, by the way, Don Yee's turned into an a-hole overnight on me for some reason. He won't do business with me anymore. And so, fine, we'll take the quarterback. Now, can we get off my back? And, like, that's sort of... So, it's really about 15. It's not the player.
No, completely. And Pennington was 18. Yeah, so you were both mid-first round. If he were Pennington, I'd be okay with that.
Me too. Absolutely. I think I'd consider that a win if he turns into Chad Pennington. Paul in West Roxbury. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Go ahead, man.
This thing about the quarterbacks is making me crazy. I've enjoyed the discussion the last 45 minutes or so. But you look at after Lawrence, the kid from Brigham Young didn't play anybody. The other kid that's going to San Fran is more raw than he is. That's why Garoppolo is going to stay, collect his $24 million, and like you say, play 10 games.
Yeah.
Ohio State hasn't given us a quarterback in at least this century, and there's no – I don't believe this kid's a guy either. Then you got Jones. Then you got the two in the second round. Have you seen the kid from Stanford play his 11 college games? He sucks.
Just clips.
I can't tell you about his footwork. But the eye test, he sucks. Trask is as good, who got picked after him, as any of the rest except for the kid out of Clemson. Honest to God.
So what are you saying?
I'm happy that they drafted a quarterback here.
But the whole class is overrated, you're saying?
Yeah, and you get the hype from everybody, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy over time that, oh, yeah, these five are far above. Well, they're not.
Paul, you know what it is?
Odds are Paul's going to be right, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely. But what's also happened is the game. It's become so quarterback-centric, and it's so important that you have that position that teams overvalue it.
Absolutely.
Except for this one.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Except there's a few places that doesn't.
So look, in that way, like if you wanted to say that, you know, the Patriots are smart. Well, I think they are smart. I've never said they were stupid. I think sometimes they do things that defy logic or let their ego get in the way or whatever else. You know, they just can't bring themselves to give in sometimes when they don't have leverage. But the what he said about the class, do you remember at the beginning of the year what the discussion was? 1 and 2. That's it.
Yeah.
Where did these other guys come from? So I think he raises a good point. Like, you know, the kid at BYU, did anybody have him going second in the draft before this year began?
No, God, no.
I mean, not even close.
No, again, up until like January, I felt it was Trevor Lawrence and then Justin Fields, and then we'll see.
At this time last year, Mac Jones wasn't even supposed to start at Alabama.
Right.
They had this incredible recruit who was supposed to be the guy, and Mac Jones ultimately beat him out. But at this point last year, Mac Jones was not supposed to start at Alabama. Now, not only did he start, but he's a 15th pick, and some people thought he was going 3. So it's gotten goofy at the position. But
and some people think he's Tom Brady.
So that is a quick ascension. But the whole thing about, you know, guys like Lance and Zach Wilson not playing against anybody, that's true, but they also didn't play with anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right, it's like, right.
Like, so, I mean, Mac Jones played against great competition, but he also played with first-round picks all across the board.
Weren't there 5 kids from Alabama picked in the first round, or 6?
5. The guys Trey Lance played with are, you know, going to be what? They're going to be selling insurance next year. So it's like, I don't know what's more or less valuable. You know, all the guys Mac Jones played with or against, or who, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Of course, yes. Yeah,
don't hold the small school quarterback thing against them. Because there's been guys that have come out of those kind of schools that have really done well.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, what I didn't expect is that they would all go in the top 15. You want to tell me one of those guys that, you know, Zach Wilson or goes in the second round, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, Eastern Illinois. Like, okay, I get it. But these guys all went out fast, man. They were 1, 2, 3, 11, 15. Like, whoa.
Okay, we'll continue with this conversation and your calls. We'll mix in a little bit of the hockey action from last night. About some old-time hockey. We'll get to that right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.